We pray together, Jesus, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire for love of you. Amen.
Amen.
Please do be seated. What does it mean to you that Christ is King? What does it mean to me? It's not a question that we're likely to be asked this week, not in that form in any case. But you and I will live this week by the answers we give to the question, what does it mean that Christ is King? Today, this feast, Christ the King, wasn't recently that there wasn't much focus on this day, simply the last day in the church's year, the last Sunday. Next Sunday is Advent Sunday, and therefore we'll begin in earnest to prepare for the celebration of the Incarnation as the following season begins, Christmas. Many of us will know this Sunday of the years of Stir Up Sunday, so named because of the collect for today for the Book of Common Prayer, which we have after communion. Always a signal to make the Christmas pudding, so it's a good 5 weeks to soak. But laterally, this renewed focus on Christ the King gives us a new opportunity, not only to look forward to Advent, but especially to look back over the whole year, and therefore to ask ourselves the question, what does it mean that Christ is King? We heard words from the pen of Paul the Apostle, which were written to give encouragement to Christians who were also trying to answer that same question we've set ourselves. What did it mean for them to have Christ as King? Well, for them, Paul wrote, they needed to know that Christ was the one in whom all things were, and that with Christ as King, a new kingdom would be marked by forgiveness and redemption. For them, knowing Christ as King meant knowing themselves as being redeemed. That is, their ownership has been transferred to God. And Paul told them that they knew God, who they couldn't see, because they knew Christ, who was the image of that invisible God. Not for them, then, just any king, but a king who is the image of the one true God. Christ, the image of God, the fullness of whom dwelt in Christ. Then in the gospel reading, we look through Luke's eyes. We ask the same question, what does it mean that Christ is King? And then with Luke, we looked upon a pitiful scene, the death of Jesus by resurrection between two criminals. Over the cross from which Jesus hung was the inscription, "This is the King of the Jews." What kind of king was this then, who couldn't save himself, who was dying as a criminal even though he'd done nothing wrong? And Jesus responded to the one hanging by his side when he asked that Jesus would remember him in his kingdom. What did it mean for that condemned man? Or for Luke, through whose words we meet him? What did it mean for them to know Christ as King? What does it mean for us? The Colossian Christians receiving Paul's letter about 30 years after Jesus died knew Jesus as the Christ, God's chosen one, raised by God from death and now reigning. Paul told them in Christ, all the fullness of God dwells bodily. God revealed as Christ is before all things, the image of the invisible God. Christ is both the beginning, the present, and the future. Truly divine, Christ dwelled in Jesus, truly human, and thereby reconciled the human and the divine. And reconciled those two in the way that Jesus of Nazareth lived, showing the rest of humanity how to live as we really can, as we really should. For them, then, Christ as King was something very important about humanity and about the importance of living truly human lives, which through those lives have the potential to show God to the world. Luke's gospel, about 10 years later, For him, the notion of Christ as king meant that if Christ was king at all, Christ was king for all. Because it's from Luke that we read of the children, the women, the Samaritan, the tax collectors, and those others who were normally excluded from Jewish society. For Luke, whatever forms the kingship of Christ is for everyone. And this story from Jesus' last hours on the cross has that understanding as the backdrop, that whatever else happens in the kingdom in which this criminal hopes to be remembered, whatever happens in that kingdom is for everyone. He, like his contemporaries, thought of a king with power and authority and position. But he also, I think, something in a flash of insight, saw in Jesus, as an extension of kingship, a potential for pardon and for mercy. Because only a king can grant pardon from wrongdoing. The criminal acknowledged that he had broken the law. And now, next to Jesus, he sees in him something others, including Jesus' own disciples, missed. That Jesus' kingship had something to do with forgiveness and with pardon. So in looking through these two different lenses, in addition to our own, what does it mean for Christ to be king? For one, the kingship of Christ has to do with justice and righteousness. Secondly, the kingship of Christ has to do with the minutiae of being human, the details we might think are too small for God to bother with. And thirdly, to know Christ as king is to know Christ as king for everyone, particularly those who are, in whatever way we understand this, outsiders. How does the kingship of Christ, which demands justice and righteousness, help us in this week to come? How does the kingship of Christ help us in our business and our domestic situations, our political activity, our care for the world's poorest? How does this striving for justice and righteousness be known in our lives? Jesus showed it when he was outraged when the poor were being cheated on their way to sacrifice in the temple. His righteous anger in turning over the tables of the money changers. And we remember also him washing the feet of his friends and not retaliating when he was wrongly accused. Justice and righteousness. And how does our humanity and the way we celebrate it in ourselves and in others demonstrate, answer the question, what does it mean to have Christ as king? Jesus of Nazareth showed us how to be fully human. And in his death, resurrection, and ascension, all humanity was restored to the heart of God because he took it upon himself. This is how the kingship of Christ is exercised, not in power and privilege, but in service to others, in celebration of shared humanity. Jesus' kingdom is different. When two of his best friends asked if they could sit at his right and at his left when he came into the kingdom, Jesus said, "You don't know what you're talking about. It's not about glory. It's not like that. It's about service." And if it's about service, then how do we answer the question of Christ as king in how we view and ourselves treat the outsider, whatever that means? Justice and shared humanity, Christ is for all. For Luke, the outsiders were the Samaritans, the women, the children, those who weren't well, the poor people. In our own society, there's different ways of defining the outsider. And the challenge for us as Christians who claim Christ as king is to know and to live that if Christ is king at all, Christ is king for all. The kingdom of God in Christ is one in which we're all welcome, to which we are all called. Our citizenship is not dependent on being good enough, being the right sort, or of the right background. It's for all, regardless of any human division or distinction. And if Christ makes no distinction, then should we make any ourselves? Each day this week that comes, we'll have the opportunity to answer the question, what does it mean to know Christ as King? Our answers won't be easy. They won't be quickly to come. But easy and quick isn't the nature of discipleship. So as this week unfolds, we look for the reign of Christ as King. We look for justice and righteousness, for generosity and pardon. We look for the presence of Christ in our own lives, in the person we see in the mirror, and we really seek to see Christ in the face of others. And we are particularly mindful of Christ as King for all. What does it mean for us to know Christ as our King? Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, to Jesus the Christ you've granted everlasting dominion and a kingship that shall not pass away. Remove from us every desire for privilege and power, that we may imitate the sacrificial love of Christ our King, and as your people serve you humbly in our brothers and sisters. Amen.